Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition? Question mark, Fancy Brian?
It's always a whopper.
Buddy, it's going to be hard to top yesterday's big show. The J6, the bombshells. I mean, they were bursting in midair, sort of 4th of July style. Anyways, Fancy Brian, we got a big show today, I think. First and foremost, I got a fine author joining me in just a bit. Bottom of this hour, author Harvey Wasserman, we invite him back. He's going to talk original peoples and abortion. He tells me indigenous women have been performing abortions for 20,000 years. So there's some precedent there, and Harvey's going to educate us. Also, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, and the host of Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m., Jim's got his own show, but he's a great resource around here, especially to sort of digest the bombshells that were part of the J6 hearing yesterday. Jim Santel, 4:30, please make a note of it. And also, you can always be a part of the big show. Got Evan here at the world headquarters, screening the calls lightly at 844-967-2789. And my little buddy Dominic, he's joining at 4. And if I hadn't mentioned, Crudy's contracting the show. Just the two hours. Dom and Crute the way it's supposed to be. Starting at 4 o'clock next Tuesday, when I'll be off and Dom will do a solo show. So, enjoy that. I felt like I owed it to him, Brian, to stick it to him for a change.
This is like every job I start, I'm like, since I've been not working, I scheduled a bunch of stuff, and I'm going on vacation within 2 weeks of getting this job. Sorry.
Kelsey's coming to town. We're going to the Dells. Wisconsin Dells, doing the water park. She's got this grown-up boyfriend. Never met the guy. I hope he's nice. I hope he, meets the high Crudy standards. But anyways, Kelsey bringing home this serious boyfriend, and he's like a East Coaster who moved to California. She lives in L.A. And guy's never been to a water park. And I got two teenage... Oh, he's very excited about the prospects.
Wait, where out east is he from?
Like New York City.
What? He's never been to Action Park in New Jersey? Oh,
apparently,
man. He's alive, so probably not.
Never been to a water park in his entire life. So, my boys and this Alex character... They got big plans. We're doing the water parks. And, here's the good news. There's a threshold. There's like one called the black hole. And there's a threshold. And if you weigh too much, you're not allowed on the ride. You're too chubby for the ride, Crudy. And there's been one time where I got all the way to the top of the ladder and got rejected at the top. Like that holiday, I had crossed the magical chubby guy threshold. And then you got to do the walk of shame all the way back down.
Well, think about it this way. I'm burdened with the knowledge of physics, and I'm in the three. Like when I didn't eat for like 2 or 3 weeks, I went down to like 310. So that's like me emaciated 310. All right. So when I'm going down a tube, one, physically fitting through it, my shoulders are not necessarily always wide enough for that tube. It's not the fear of it, and it's not the claustrophobia, which I do have a little bit, but I'd love to go and do it. It's only a couple minutes or maybe a minute if that, or maybe like 30 seconds, maybe 10. My point is that the physics of me going so fast, I saw someone go through it who is half my size and they moved the entire tube. And for me, there's a really good chance that I would, like, because there's a certain point where it exponentially starts getting faster that I'm there, and either I'm getting stuck or I'm going too fast, and the physics of that will break it, and there's a reason they have a weight limit on there.
Yeah, but then we get you a good personal injury attorney. You sue the water park, man, you're rich, baby.
Rich. If I survive.
Well, you're survivors, you know, they'll be rich. It'll be worthwhile for someone.
There's a huge difference between 25 and 45 miles an hour.
Hey, let's jump into the headlines before the people abandon ship on us. Paul Waldman at the Washington Post offers a little opinion. I'd like to start the big show here today. Trump wanted loyalty. Don't we all? Isn't that what, you know, from our dog, from our spouses, you know, maybe our children, our colleagues, our employees, our employers? Loyalty, that's all you want. Trump wanted loyalty above all. He got just the opposite. Well, that makes me feel good. Paul Waldman writes, opines, if you will, in the final minutes of Tuesday's extraordinary hearing. And oh yeah, man, yesterday, that's tough to top. I can't wait till the July hearings kick in. But anyways, in the final minutes of Tuesday's extraordinary hearing of the January 6th Select Committee, Rep. Liz Cheney teased a revelation of possible crimes that had been committed. Not on that awful day or leading up to it, but after, namely potential witness tampering. Cheney revealed the witnesses coming before the committee had been contacted by people close to former President Donald Trump. One unnamed witness said something that could have come right from a mafia movie. What they said to me is, as long as I continue to be a team player, you know, that I'm on the team, I'm doing the right thing, I'm protecting who I need to protect, you know, I'll continue to stay in the good graces in Trump world. And they have reminded me a couple of times that Trump does read transcripts. And just to keep that in mind, as I proceeded through my depositions and interviews with the committee, be a sad thing if the witness's knees suddenly buckled under the weight of a crowbar. Another witness was told, that was the inset, I read on. Another witness was told in advance of their deposition, he wants me to let you know that he's thinking about you. He knows you're loyal and you're going to do the right thing when you go in for your deposition. Cheney did not specify whether he was Trump, but that was certainly the implication. It should not be surprising that even now, Trump is utterly obsessed with the question of loyalty. Aren't we all? I often find myself obsessed with the loyalty, especially you. I'm watching you, Fancy Brian. It's safe to say that never in U.S. history has there been a president more preoccupied with maintaining the loyalty of those who work for him. Yet never has there been a president who received less loyalty than he did. One Republican after another who labored in Trump's employ have come to reveal the former president's misdeeds and potential crimes. It demonstrates again why he was so consumed with loyalty. Precisely because he knew he didn't deserve it, couldn't earn it, and wouldn't get it. This is a good lesson. I think it's a lesson. I think that's L-E-S-S-O-N, lesson. This is a good lesson in the limitations of loyalty. In our own words, we praise the loyal friend and the boss who is loyal to their employees. We see it as admirable to be willing to sometimes put aside your own interest to help those to whom you have bonds of connection and care. I love you, Fancy Brian. I love you, man. But in politics, loyalty operates a little differently. The politicians who receive it are those who earn it through both the loyalty they show those who serve them, something Trump has rarely, if ever, done. He demands loyalty, but almost never returns it. And their own behavior. It's easy to be loyal to a president who acts ethically and embodies virtues you admire. Consider, do you recall how many tell-all books were written during the Obama administration by insiders? The answer is zero. Obama staffers wrote books after leaving his White House, but none were score-settling takedowns of the former boss. They were filled with praise for him. Compare that to the long list of books by Trump staffers excoriating him, from John Bolton to Mark Esper, Stephanie Grisham to William Barr to Omarosa Manigault Newman, and many books written by journalists overflow with quotes from former aides dishing on Trump's misconduct and character flaws. Well, come on, we all have a few flaws, right, Fancy Brian? Trump's central dilemma was this. For someone to give him the loyalty he sought, they would have to prove themselves to be utterly incapable of loyalty to anyone or anything. If you were the kind of person who was loyal to a moral code, to your country, to the rule of law, that would render you suspect in Trump's eyes, and rightly so. See the quandary here, don't you? Early in his presidency, Trump told then FBI Director James Comey, "I need loyalty. I expect loyalty." Comey replied he would always be honest with the president, but the Bureau had to remain independent of political influence. Comey clearly failed Trump's test. He was fired a few months later. Throughout his presidency, Trump was positively obsessed with the possibility of disloyalty. Potential hires were vetted not for experience or competence, but for whether they had ever said anything mean about Trump. As Jonathan Carl wrote in The Atlantic, the presidential personnel office, and here's the quote, was transformed into an internal police force, obsessively monitoring administration officials for any sign of dissent, purging those who were deemed insufficiently devoted to Trump, and frightening others into silence. Oh, those are the best kind of workplace environments, don't you think? Fear me. We'll talk more about this. Loyalty. We all seek loyalty. You know, some of us demand loyalty. But you gotta give a little to get a little, right? We appreciate the loyalty of our fine audience. Why are you rolling your eyes, Fancy Brian?
No, not if you're Trump. You know, he never reciprocates. He never reciprocates. Ever. And people still flock to him like, yay!
I appreciate that fine answer. And don't forget, kiss the ring before the segment's over.
Yes, sir. May I have another?
more Devil's Advocates. I tease. 844-967-2789. All I demand is that you play along and you dial.
The people, my people are so smart. And you know what else they say about my people? The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible. Thank you.